What is up, everybody, and welcome to We Are the Coach Squad. This is your coach, Jim Johnson, and I am accompanied with my buddy, Coach Jared Fell. What's up, buddy?
Chilling.
That's right. And welcome to We Are the Coach Squad, episode 9. That's right, we're kicking it off tonight with a little book review. Yes, we do read, ladies and gentlemen. Jared, maybe more than me, but we do read. As long as it has pictures. As long as it has pictures. This one had one on the cover. And at the end, there were a couple. But this was an easy read tonight that we're doing. And excited to go over this, talk about it. We're going to be talking tonight about the book. It's called The Hard Hat by John Gordon. And it's 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. So The Hard Hat by John Gordon, 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. Not a real difficult read, 110 pages, so took us about 3 weeks. No, not that bad. But this is a good book for a sports team or business team, or if you don't do anything with sports but just work with people or anything like that. It's the 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. Is pretty cool. We're going to break that down tonight, talk a bit about it. The book, like I said, 110 pages. I mean, it wasn't Gone with the Wind, or I just referenced Gone with the Wind.
Or The Hobbit.
Or The Hobbit would have been better to reference than Gone with the Wind. I think I just lost some street cred.
Yeah, your man card has now just been taken. I'll see if I can get your wife to take it out of her purse.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. Why did that go to that book first?
I don't know. It caught me off guard there.
There's something wrong. I don't know. It's a good book either way.
Is it?
But The Hobbit should have been better.
There was a movie.
There was. I saw it. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Just dug myself into the hole. So, man, not getting out of that one. That one has been recorded. All right. Well, moving along on The Hard Hat.
You sure you don't want to keep going?
I know. Oh, man. It just stinks. No, we'll kick this off. I'll just delete and restart, but I'm not going to. I'll just go. All right. So The Hard Hat, 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. Like I say, it starts off, really, this book, the first half of the book, it's about a lacrosse player who went to Cornell University. His name was George Boriarty. And it really focuses on the things that this player brought to that team, the inspiration that he gave the team and the people who knew him with some great things. Really was life changers for a lot of people. And the young man, he ended up not, this isn't a spoiler or anything like that, but he does die. He dies in the middle of a lacrosse game in March of 2004. But the legacy that he left behind of being just such a great teammate, that really this story focuses on what he did, touching people, and really just, like I said, the legacy he left behind. I think that's super important right there. But it's a good story, the first half reading about him and the lacrosse team there. And you don't have to know anything about lacrosse to appreciate the story. It's not written like that. You have to be an X and O's person or anything. But it does, you know, it touches on him being an athlete and those things, but nothing insane that you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know lacrosse, I got to read that. But the second half of the book really takes the life lessons that he brought, and they digs into that. So, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, which is the 21 ways to be a great teammate. And hopefully that if you are a player and you get to hear this, that you'll take some of these things and apply it to your team. If you work in a group of people, that you can take some of these things and do the same. I was actually in a work meeting recently, and people were asking for some commitments to do some different things. And people were talking about issues they were having. And I referenced this book, and it really, there was a lot of things in here that people could have utilized. So,
you know, one thing that you brought up about the legacy is this past week we were handing out jersey numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we were handing jersey numbers out of previous year's players. And it's amazing how, I'll be honest, some of the numbers I forgot. you know, what guys, I know the guys' names and their faces, but the legacy that each one of those players left from the numbers that they wear. So you're leaving a legacy whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
So that was what kind of, when you brought that up about the legacy that he left, I was thinking about the legacy that our previous players have left. So
It's interesting. You talked about the jerseys. We'll have to dig into that sometime about, and I just heard this on a radio show recently. They were talking about numbers, players pick numbers and what the numbers say about the player. And I think it's more what the players
say about the number.
But in this case, George Boyardi, you know, he brought a lot to the table, and he is a player that would have brought something to a number for sure, and brought it to a team, and you know, just some incredible lessons, life lessons, be a teammate. And so let's jump into those.
Let's do it.
So the first one, you want to go first or me?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right.
Sweat more. I'd like to sweat more. Right. One thing that you control every day is your effort, right? That's one of the things you can't coach is effort or attitude. So the more you come out and you give out more effort throughout practice and in games, you're really going to start setting yourself up for success. The harder you work. Now, there are times I will admit that you can work so hard that you're now a liability because you're trying so dang hard. But if your effort is there and you're working hard, giving your team everything that you've got every time you come out, it's only going to help the team and yourself out more. So I liked the sweat more.
Yeah, I like that too. I love the give that little bit of extra effort.
Keep your mouth shut and work.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. The second one, it kind of ties in what you just said, actually. It is, well done is greater than well said. And I really like that. Well done is greater than well said. I think there's those players who talk a lot or coworkers who talk a lot, but they don't do a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why I like well done is greater than well said. So if you're out, like you said, if you're sweating more, giving that effort, you're getting her done.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah. And you're not sitting there just running your mouth on it.
And you can always, you've got those players or those coworkers that talk a big game, but when it comes down to crunch time, when you need someone to be there for you, who are you going after? The guy that talks a lot, or the guy that just puts his head down and works?
Yeah. And we have players like that. We've seen they get out, you know, they're getting in and they're sweating more. They're putting that effort in. They don't say a lot.
They just do. But
they lead by their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Choose to be humble and hungry. When I first read that, I saw choose to be humble or hungry. But so when I think about this, it doesn't say a whole lot to me other than in jiu-jitsu. You really learn how to be humble, because you can walk in any day and you can just be submitted by anybody at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're humble, you can be hungry at the same time, right? I can go in and I can be, I cannot have a good night or, you know, a good fight or a good match. But if I'm humble during it, I want more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really
want it more. So makes me be harder at it. Hold myself accountable.
When I hear that, I mean, humble and hungry is, you know, it's the humility. But and I think by learning, and you talk about in jiu-jitsu all the time, you're always learning.
Yeah,
it's different things always going. It's never the same thing. If you're open to learning, that there's humility there, because it's the person who isn't willing to learn anymore that has the door shut on their face.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And no, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And that's in anything.
Yeah.
Even in my job, if I'm not trying to push the boundaries of the things that I do, what am I going to help develop, man? So yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Number four, pursue excellence. And man, that was pretty good. And I think that one can be overwhelming probably when you hear pursue excellence, but really the basic thing is just don't settle for average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old story is, you know, what good is the enemy of great? You're like, how were you? That was good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what can you do to move it to that next notch and everything? So I think that's, you know, if you're humble and hungry to keep learning and improving, you'll get to that point. You're going to find those things that'll help you move to be great.
Well, and you've told our players that before. Are you happy with being average?
Yeah.
Don't be average. If you're not happy being average, then work hard.
Yeah.
Be humble. Shut your mouth. Work hard.
As I think, it's just that 1% more, that 1 degree more.
Yeah.
They showed that video one time in a meeting. It's that 1 degree of difference, you know, freezes something. 1 degree, mm-hmm. you know, boils something. You know, if it boils, then it turns to steam and powers a locomotive. And that's the same thing. If you're happy just being average, but if you just change that 1 degree, just 1 degree. So,
well, and I think everything can be kind of relative too. You can come out having a really bad day.
Yeah.
But if you stay humble, you stay hungry, even though you have a bad day, that's just going to make you better for the next day.
Yeah, I agree.
Share positive, contagious energy. Be a sunshine in somebody's life.
You know what that one's? So number five, the share positive, contagious energy is, I think it's hard to be a sunshine in somebody's life, to be honest. I think, I think that for a player or a teammate, if you can push, people figure a way to push themselves, but how do you share that? How do you make that contagious? To share a positive, contagious energy. Like, how do you share that? How do you give your ray of sunshine to somebody?
Well, it goes back to some of the things that we just got done reading, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just threw that paper down, but sweat more.
Yeah.
Come out and put more effort in. Positive energy doesn't mean that you're coming out and making someone feel all bright and shiny and all that. No, they want to work hard. They want to play. They want to push themselves. So positive and I guess when you first read this, in my mind, I see flower smelling and hand holding. But it's, you know, you got to come out and just positive is just working hard.
Yeah. And I do think that you can share your mood, you know, or your morale to that can be contagious. If you come in and you're constantly down or, I think you can do that.
Well, you were talking earlier today about you can come out. Are you down so far that you can't bring that the team's got to burn energy coming up, bringing you back up? So yeah. I don't know if you were going to hit into that later on, but that was, yeah.
So number six, don't complain.
Oh, Lord have mercy. How many times have we said that to our kids, personal kids in our home?
Oh,
and then out on the field. You're playing. Look at what we went through with Corona.
Yeah.
Right? The last season that we had, fall of 2020. I mean, was that 2020?
Yeah, this is 2021.
Yeah, fall of 2020 is going to be something that you and I are going to remember.
Yeah.
Because we got to go out and coach again instead of sitting in a stupid house.
Well, I think there's things you're going to get upset about. But if you figure, it's kind of like, you know, I've heard it, you know, what's the solution?
Yeah.
You can sit there and complain about it all day long, but do you have a solution? And it's funny. I think it's Bill Belichick. I heard him. Part of the Patriots, what they did, part of the winning ways was you come in, shut your mouth, do your job.
Yeah.
And that's part of that. Yeah, just don't complain. Come in. What are you going to bring? What's the solution? What's the positivity you're going to bring? And things like that. So I get that one.
Number seven, do it for your team. Not for applause.
Ooh, that's a hard one for young kids.
Yeah. They want that. They want that recognition.
Yeah.
They want that. I was talking to a guy, and he was saying how much the kids love the recognition, the game ball, the game jersey. You know, some teams give a game ball out at the end of the game. You and I have talked about it, and we don't really do it because everybody should earn game ball. You should actually, like a student, every day when you go into school, the first day of school, everybody has an A. You just screw up and get the F, right?
Right.
Everybody starts with an A because there's no grades in the book. So everybody's got an A. So when, Everybody should have a team ball when we go into the game, a game ball when they go into the game. Maybe what we should do mm-hmm. is pull it at the end of the game.
What do you mean? Well,
everybody gets a game ball at the beginning of the game.
Right.
You either earn it to keep it or you lost it because you screwed up.
That may go against the share positive contagious what? Energy.
But okay, so if you start with it and you, instead of trying to earn it, why not try to keep it?
No, I see what you're saying, though, but I do think it's when you're doing something for the team and not just for the plot. And that's why I said young kids are going to problem with it. Because they want to, they see SportsCenter, they'll see highlight reels, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is. It's that they're wanting that self-glory. But in the game or whatever they're doing, their practice, stuff like that, that's where they've got to have that servant leadership type of deal. And you know, how can they make somebody else better? And we've talked about that before. It's like, you've got those great players, but what makes them great is that they're making other people around them great.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, but Jared with his take the team ball game.
Take ball the ball away from me.
That is so, Jared 7.2.
How long does the applause last? Everybody wants to have the applause, but how long does the applause last?
I don't know. My brain went glorious forever. Pain is temporary.
But yeah, I mean, so if you do it for your team, right, and you come out on top as a team, you go into the next week, you go into the next game on a high.
Right.
But if you, and that lasts longer than does the applause, right? You make a great play, throw a touchdown, everybody's screaming and hollering, right. But they got to have an extra point coming afterwards, right? It's forgotten. The applause only lasts for the duration of the end of the play. Score a goal, everybody's cheering until face off.
Right.
Because now it's over with. It's going, right?
But I think if you're taking that, but if your team's winning and you're doing more and more, that's, it's great to have a moment of applause.
But it carries
forward. But you keep going and going if your team is doing well.
Correct.
I got you. Okay.
Take the game ball.
Take the game balls. Jared's 7.2. All right. Number 8. Show you're committed. So that's more than just talk. So if you want commitment, you got to be committed yourself to doing the things we're talking about. And that's the practice, you know, like you talk about, sweat a little bit more. And I think that's where, in that part where you show you're committed, I think that's where whether workers or teammates in a sports, they mess up is that they don't necessarily show they're committed all the time. And then people call them out because they're trying to call other people out. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
definitely. It's funny because you can say you're committed to the team or you're committed to the sport.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
You should be committed to the sport in the off season, but to the team during the season. Or you could flip it. You know, you could say you shouldn't be committed to the sport. You should be committed to the team. So at work, are you committed to your team at work? Or are you committed to, you know, whatever you're working on? So I kind of like that because, you need to show you're committed in all aspects of everything you're doing.
Yeah, it's not just one.
It's not just one thing. And number 9, never take a play off. Because how often do we ask our guys to just, if you can push it one more run?
Yeah,
you're smoked and you're on the other side of the field. You need a blow, but we can't get a guy to you. I got to ask you to go just a little bit more. Can you give it to me?
And I think that's even more than just physical. Yeah. There are physical limitations. I think it's about the mental.
For some people.
Yeah, for some people. I think it's the mental attitude. It's that you don't take a play off.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Is your body might be breaking down, cramping, whatever, but the mental attitude of don't take a play off is that I'm going to bring my best every time. I think that part, and that goes back to, you know, going back to the share positive contagious energy. I think when you're not taking a playoff, then your teammates don't take a playoff
because
they're going to see you, you know, sweating a little bit more.
I guess you don't have to take a playoff. You can come off to the side as long as you're still contributing to the team from the sideline.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about that, to contribute from the sideline. So just because you came off the field doesn't mean that you have to take the playoff.
And that's what we talked to the players recently about, that is that, hey, in the game, if you're on the sideline, you're still contributing, is that you're cheering your teammate on. You need to be their biggest cheerleader, while they're in the game and be prepared to step in, watch the guy that you'll be subbing in for, things like that. So that way they're not taking a playoff either. Mm-hmm. They're bringing the attitude where they might not physically be on the field, but they're bringing attitude, which helps be a team player.
And then when they do get on the field, they're already ready to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Number 10, hold yourself and your team accountable. And I really like that one. I see a lot of people fall into the trap of holding other people accountable, mm-hmm. and allowing themselves to slide. And you see that at work. You see that on a sports team. It's that can happen. You've got that person. It goes back to the beginning about, you know, when we're talking, that person who talks, mm-hmm. you know, well done is better than well said. And to me, the person who reverses that, they're the one who's talking all the time, wanting to hold everybody accountable. Hey, Jared, what'd you do? Hey, Jared, you didn't do this. But they're not looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
And we've had players like that. Well, you know, something goes wrong, they're the first one to point somebody else out. And instead, what could they have done in that series to make some money? I've seen it work. Mm-hmm. I just recently had a conversation with a client, and there was something wrong in that building that wasn't going right. And I had to sit down with the team, and the leader of that team, they blamed everyone else for everything that was going on and wanted to hold everybody accountable to the point of, let's terminate all of them. But they weren't willing to hold themselves accountable. Not one time did they say, hey, I did something, or hey, I should do something different that affects my team. And it was so obvious as a third party sitting there, but they were oblivious to it. And I think that was in a work environment where I believe we see that, though, also in athletics, too.
Yeah, I've actually seen it. It's easier for me to blame the team than it is to blame myself.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, what do they say when you point your finger? There's one, four
pointing back
at you. Three pointing back at you. If I had to put, look at my hand. Well, it depends on if your thumb, point your thumb or not. But there's, you know, three or four pointing back at you.
Yeah.
And I've had to catch myself. Because it's really easy for me during a high stressed situation that it's easier to blame the other people than it is to blame yourself.
And I agree.
I think sometimes you're looking for the out. So, number 11, treat everyone with respect and expect everyone to do the same.
I think that
one. Expect everyone else to do the same.
You like that, expect.
I do like the expect, but I treat everyone with respect and expect yourself. You still have to expect it out of yourself. You know, I mean, I like the word expect, because if I can expect myself to do something, I think someone else. But if you're treating everybody with respect, you should get it back, right?
Yeah.
You'll have those derelicts or those jackholes out there that just can't. The ones that it's easier to point the finger. But I would, in my experience, I would say 8 out of 10 are going to come back and show you the same amount of respect you showed them.
You know what my struggle as a coach is? Is that when I treat people with respect, players, and you get disrespect back. Because I expect respect back. And that's why I'll be honest. I don't know if it's fair or not to say I've had to temper my expectations, depending on the age and things like that. And maybe that's not right. Maybe that's why people disrespect easier, because we've tempered our expectation. Ooh. I like the word too, but because if we respect somebody and then you get disrespect back, man, that's hard. That's hard. And I've had to filter myself. Because I'll get that disrespect back, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and then you're like, all right, wait a second. No, that's their home life. No, that's just their age. That's just, I'm giving them excuses, I think.
Well, But so we have a few players from time to time that really push us, right?
Right.
Show them a lot. We feel, and I can say that I've never seen you disrespect a player ever. I've never seen you disrespect a coach or a fan or anything like that. So when you give that to them and they turn around and throw it in your face, like, what'd you say, coach? Get over here, huh? You know, that type of thing is, what were you doing out there? I don't know.
Well, the worst is when they turn their back on you and they go to walk away. And you're like, huh?
Yeah.
But it's not just the workplace. I mean, on the athletic field, I see it happening in the workplace more and more.
Really?
I do. And now I'll say this. I see it in a reverse where the team tries to respect the leader.
Yeah.
But the leader shows disrespect. And it can be something where the leader doesn't listen to what they have to say. It's not open to feedback. And so that when the team is trying to respect, one, because the leader is that leader, mm-hmm. and they're trying to respect that. That person got some level of respect just because they're in a position. Mm-hmm. But that only goes so far.
Right.
I mean, you get it because you're in a position, great, you know, high five, but you got to move forward with that. And that's where I see the breakdowns in business when I'm working with people, is that when the leader doesn't respect their team and the team's trying in their best, and they're doing all the things where they're trying to build each other up, but it's coming from below and up top. Hmm. It's sour.
Toxic from the top.
Toxic from the top. Yeah. And so I've seen some of that in reverse.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's funny you say that, because I was talking to a cousin of mine, and we can talk about it this in another time, but I asked her because she was posting some things about leadership and the leadership in her job, in her area of work. And so I asked her just on a private message, what do you think a leader is supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And it was a really good, and she's a lot younger than me.
Right.
And it was a really good conversation. It was a lot about what you said. Just because you got the title doesn't mean that there's a level of respect that comes with the title, but you got to keep that respect.
Yeah.
So.
That's huge. The next one, number 12, give all and take nothing. And you know what? I think when you're giving of yourself,
yes,
you will receive. It comes around. And so if you go into it and expect nothing from it, but you're going to give, I think it comes to you. It's that old karma kind of deal. But in this book, they talk about, you know, you don't want to be an energy vampire where you're taking everybody and just taking them down a bad path. You're sucking away their good energy, stuff like that. But bring that energy, show them all the hard work and everything, give everything you've got. And if you go into it with no expectation that it's coming back, you know, you're given, and if they're on, it ends up coming around. So,
well, in the days that you can't give all, there's going to be someone that's going to give you,
because you've been doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 13. And we never talk about this, but communicate.
Yeah. We talk. Yeah. It's one thing we talk about too much.
Sometimes. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember who I was talking to, but it was my son. Actually, we were talking about just to be able to communicate. From the head coach down to the players.
Right.
That communication level, and from the head coach to the parents to the players, or from the head coach to the players to the parents, there's got to be, and you look at it in business too, from your boss, your customer, down to the people that you work with, that you go in to work with day in and day out. If that communication level isn't there, the production drops.
Correct.
And then then everything is open to interpretation, right? When you start interpreting, well, I think when he said that, I think he meant this. Instead of going, okay, this is what I understood from it. Jimmy, what was it? And you can either set me straight, or you can go, oh, yeah, I guess I did come out a little bit wrong, right? Or I can say, hey, man, you don't have to be a Fruit Loop about it, but you can, you know, respectfully ask a person what was going on and then ask. How did that come out? You've done that to me before.
Yeah.
You've said some things and come back and go, hey, how'd that come out? And you know, that's just you wanting to learn. A lot of respect for stuff like that.
But, you know, that leads into number 14, which is connect. And that's that next level of communication is that, so you and I can, so you've got communication where people just talk, which is great. You got to have that. But if you can't connect with those people, and connection means different things at different levels of, you know, like you and I can be pretty open and have conversation and we can connect. We can talk about family, you know, all sorts of crazy things. A kid's not going to do that necessarily. But I do think it's important that as young men and women who are playing sports, is that they don't just show up to a field, talk to somebody on a field. Yeah, they're going to connect. They're going to communicate. But do they get to know their teammates any?
Yeah.
And with phones the way they are now, you know, they're a blessing and a curse, you know, all the different things, is they don't get to know each other anymore like they used to. You know, it's ask a team member, hey, do you know any of your players' birthdays? You know, and there's little things they can do, you know, but it doesn't have to be a birthday, but just be connected, like reach out to somebody and take that communication to the next level. So yeah, 14 was connect.
Number 15, become a come with me teammate. So when I first read that, I was kind of wondering in my mind, what does that mean? But then you start looking back at all of the other things that we've talked about, right? Do it for your team, not for applause.
Right.
Show you're committed. If I'm committed to the team, I'm going to... We had one player, we talked about this earlier, we had one player that would put the team on his back and just take him along with him, right? We would have, we'd be going that his senior year. We had some tough games there. And he put the team on his back and go down, score a goal, and come back and score another one.
But, you know, and you know what was great about him is he would be... He would look at you and go, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Come on, man. I got you. Like that. I mean, he wasn't saying come with me, but he was.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that. Like, yeah, he really was.
I remember him coming on the sideline and looking over at one of the players and say, just come out. I got you. Just come out. I'll take care of you. And he did. Kid went out there. He found him the ball. He got the ball around to him or helped him. Oh, I think it was a defensive stance. We had a middie, that's right. We had a middie that was struggling, and he just came out and says, dude, I need you to just come out. I'll take care of it. Everything will be fine. I just need you to do your job. And, yeah, he stepped it up and took it to, you know, was able to help him out. But yeah. I'll tell you what, that kid fought for him every game after that.
You know what? That kid just, I know he went to college and he's playing, and I'm sure he's still got that same attitude with that team. Remember, I know he does, but – you see that kind of attitude even in the workplace where somebody says, hey, look, let's say you're having a struggling day. Somebody's like, I got you. You know, I'm going to take care of you. Let's work on this. Now, that other person could be that energy vampire where they're trying to suck away. But if you've got that mentality, that you're like, I got you, man. Don't worry about it. I think that that's where people start to change. The people around you. And we saw that player. He made a difference. Like there were some moments the team was struggling, and as coaches, we couldn't, there wasn't anything at that moment we felt like we could do, but he's sitting there. He's like, he looked at the guys and he's like, I got you guys. Just come out here, do this. I will do whatever I can to lift you up. And man, that was, we saw that. We were inspired.
Yeah.
It was huge.
But he also did it a couple of times where the team was like, really? Give us a chance too. He
kind of runs a line.
There is a line. But he did. There were more positive things that came of that than negative.
That's true.
More positives than came negative.
And that leads into number 16, what you're talking about running that line. Is number 16 is practice selfless compassion. So basically is don't be selfish. How can you serve others? And I like this part. This is something I wrote down. You don't have to be great to serve, but you have to serve to be great. And practicing selfless compassion. That's where that come with me teammate really does need to practice the selfless part of it. And you talk about it, he ran a line. Sometimes it was like, all right, are you getting a little selfish there? And he would reel it back, which was great. He did recognize it, or teammates would call him out because they did trust him. But that's where I think we do see players and things like that. It becomes very selfish. and they're not worried about serving others or anything like that.
Show you care, number 17. Kind of bleeds into number 16.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do have players that come out, and you can tell that they care about their teammate as a person. Mm-hmm. But then you also have those players that come out and care for the athlete.
Yeah.
Care for the teammate, not the person themselves. And I don't, on a team, you don't have to have, you know, people that run around holding hands. They have to care for them on the field. That doesn't mean they have to care for them. Well, they don't have to. They don't have to be best friends off the field. But on the field, they have to care for that person that's around them. Because if they don't, it goes back into not being self. They're being selfish, and the team will die at that point.
Yeah,
they will fail.
I think when you're part of something, like when they're with that group and they're part, if they're giving everything they can, you know, like you said, but when they're away from it, they can be away from it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. Which is interesting because number 18 is be a loyal friend, To me, that's huge. So being a loyal friend, we're just talking about it's okay when you're on the team and then you can step away from it. But being a loyal friend, and I'd say a loyal teammate, I think they're the same and can be different. I think being a teammate, being a loyal teammate, somebody knows you got your back. It's really the same definition for a loyal friend.
Yes.
I know that if I need you, I can call on you. If I'm struggling, you got me. Teammates got the same thing. We talked to the boys last year, or 2 years ago, and we were talking to them about their friends and their circle of friends now. And because people were talking about popularity and social media and all that crap. But we talked about when you get older, you're going to have a circle of loyal friends. And it's not going to be 500 people. Or all these likes or anything like that. It's going to be
1,500 of your closest friends.
That you don't know half their names. I would say I have a strong circle of loyal friends. Like I know I could call you whatever time of day it is and say, hey, I need something. It's just as you. Now, you physically may not be able to make it happen, but I know I can call. Mm-hmm. I've got some other friends like that just as you do. And our circles overlap. Mm-hmm. But when we're not together and you're in a different circle, let's say you're in jiu-jitsu circle and I'm at work that day, those are different groups. Mm-hmm. You're a loyal teammate to that team that you're in. I'm in loyal. But I always know that we can come back to, like, say, our lacrosse team, be back part of that team. And I think that's where just that loyalty of helping people, knowing that they can depend on you, is huge, because that loyalty is precious, man.
Yeah.
I think that's where you find a lot of fake friends.
When Braxton was wrestling, I was helping coach. And varsity, he was wrestling, I can't remember, I think he was 152. And there was these guys, they in the wrestling room, they couldn't stand one another.
In the wrestling room?
In the wrestling room and outside the wrestling room. I don't think they even talked. In the wrestling room, they would fight. I mean, wrestling's a fight, right?
Right.
And they would go hard. I mean, they would crush one another. But I remember one time they were outside the wrestling room. I don't remember exactly the whole situation, but one of them was being fussed at by somebody else. The other came to him and had his back, just stepped up and between the two and said, no, you're not going to do this anymore. You want to fight him, you got to fight me. Basically is what it came down to. Now those two didn't, when they were in the wrestling room and they would wrestle hard. I mean, it was, yeah, I had to wrestle them both and it sucked, right? I mean, right. These guys came out for blood every night in the wrestling room and they put it on the line every night in the wrestling room. So much so that they would go in and they'd get dressed. They wouldn't even talk to one another. Wouldn't even look at each other because they just, but when they were outside, the bond that they built in the wrestling room, being able to push each other to the limits, took it outside the wrestling room to where one of them was having a problem and the other one stepped in to finish it. And it was, when you say be a loyal friend, loyalty is huge.
Oh, yeah.
I have friends that I had thought were friends. And and it hurts. So when you're young, you got this group of
you know, us, we had, what, 40 people in our group that we grew up around. Now these kids have, you know, 1,000 of their closest friends that hit like every time they post something. But your loyalty, your friendship circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller because you realize how much loyalty actually means. From, go from an acquaintance, a friend to an acquaintance to a friend.
You know, it's weird about that. So when I read that, be a loyal friend, and kind of digging into what you're saying, is that as we've gotten older, our circle of friends has the very loyal, the loyalty ones. You have friends.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, you have friends, but the loyal ones is smaller than what you thought of maybe when you were like 15, 16, you know, and now we're older.
Yeah.
It's a couple of little years. A little bit. It's smaller, but I look back also at the friends that I have. Why aren't they as loyal? And so I start going, all right, and there's things that I know that I screwed up with if I would have been different on some things, would we be more loyal? Was I not loyal?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's where when you get old, you start looking back, and you're like, well, screwed that relationship up, you know, and it starts to make you think like, you know, I have a great loyal circle, but what could I have had if I did this?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wonder, do they think the same, like, what did I do? Or, you know, meaning them saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, the dynamic, how it changes. And then the loyalty you think you have with somebody, where you are in your life at 16, at 26, at 36, at 46, at 50, it changes. I think that loyalty changes too based on your circle.
Yeah.
I think your circle starts to change a little bit too. It's very interesting on that
loyalty. If you stop and think about it, I've got you. I've got a couple of guys local. I've got a friend of mine that
he actually wrote me down 3 times.
I did,
just to make sure,
because I spelled his name wrong. But I've got a guy right now. I know he lives in Rhode Island. I know if I pick up the phone and call him, if he can't be here physically, he will find someone to be here physically.
Yeah.
If I said, "Hey, man, I got something going on. I need some help with it," he would say, "Hold on, they'll be right there." And he's got enough loyal friends that they would show up for him. They're that loyal to him that they would be there for him. And I've got some of those around the country too, that I know that if I needed something, they have enough loyal friends that they would be there. And loyalty, I mean, we kind of got burned that one for a while, but the loyalty's huge.
That's a big one.
It is a big
one. Because if you could be a loyal friend and a loyal teammate, I mean, there's so much that comes from that. Our very first podcast, we talked about trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trust right there.
Yeah. Be a loyal and trusting friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So number 19, love your team. Kind of goes to the loyalty and compassion and all that.
You know, it's funny. I saw a breakdown about love your team, and it really, there's things that you can love your team and not like them sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We love our team, but there's days where, man, I don't like those guys very much right this minute.
Do we have to come to practice tomorrow?
But I do think if you love your team and you come in, I think it starts building those things there.
That you're
like, I love being part of this. And I think it starts to build on there. Number 20, sacrifice. Whew. Sacrifice. I think going back when we're talking about loyalty, I don't think you can have the loyalty, the communication, the connection, the sweating more, positive, contagious energy, all those things without sacrifice. And I mean, you have to be able to give of yourself to the greater good of the team.
Yeah.
And to help others. And I think that sacrifice part is huge. I mean, if you're doing any of those things, even a little bit, you're sacrificing a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're always giving something up to get something. And some of our players have a hard time understanding that, you know, I got to give up the girl to come to practice.
Huh?
Well, it's our year anniversary, coach. But you do have to sacrifice. I mean, there are some things, guys, sometimes they're sacrificing points. Sometimes they're sacrificing, like in our jobs, right?
Yeah.
There are times that we sacrifice Well, there's more times than not for me, probably, that I sacrifice time with my family for my job. Sometimes I sacrifice my family for our team, right?
Right.
Going to practice. I've got two little girls that I get to spend time with my son, but I have three girls that I didn't spend as much time as I do with my kid, my sons, because I didn't coach their team. So I sacrifice that.
Well, I think any coach or leader sacrifice. So at work, we talk a lot about work-life balance.
Yeah.
But I think to get balance, you have to sacrifice
that. Yes. Yeah.
And especially to help. When you're talking about helping others, you're sacrificing. And sacrifice, that's a strong word, I think. I get it. But you're sacrificing time. Like when you're with your son, you sacrifice time with your daughters.
Yeah.
When we're with our team, even though we both have one of them always playing, we're sacrificing time with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
Or those things. But I think when you look at it, is would you trade that sacrifice in? Like,
I don't. That's funny. That's a hard question because you start looking at it from the other side.
That now they may look at it and go, "Man, I wish we had more time."
Yeah.
Or I wish we did this, but I think when you're making an impact, a coach, and our very first podcast, we talked about coaches and getting into coaching and why people get into coaching. I think you have to be willing to sacrifice.
Absolutely.
And that sacrifice can be different levels. And that's why people walk away. People walk away from coaching. They walk away from leadership because the sacrifice is they can't find the balance. Yeah. And I think you can have a balance in it with whatever you do. And, you know, it's, can you live with it?
Well, you have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the team for the family.
Yeah.
You know, and we've both done that.
Oh, we leave early in the morning. We come home. Well, don't even come home sometimes. We go straight to the practice field, eat dinner 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, turn around, do it all over again. But there's days that I would trade it. I'd give it to somebody for free. That's what you feel like because it's just frustrating. But when you start digging in and talk about the different things we've talked about tonight, I wouldn't trade that sacrifice in. I think that part of what we do, and I think that's what makes people coaches.
I do, and you can look at it from a dad and a dad standpoint. For me, the boys turn into be during the season like our own kids.
Yeah,
and I would feel bad if I wasn't there for them, whether they want me there or not. I don't know. But, you know, I'd feel like I'd be letting them down if I wasn't there.
You know, it's funny you said that. If you look back at it, I don't know if we ever wanted our coach there, the coach that we had at that moment. But when you look back, maybe they will too, is that you're like, oh, those guys were all right. And you know, like we've talked about some of our old coaches, maybe they'll talk about us.
Maybe.
Or they'll talk about somebody else too. So,
yeah.
Which leads into the last one. Number 21. Leave the place better than you found it.
So when I first read this, it took me because just before I read this, I just got off the practice field and there was a bunch of water bottles all over the place.
That's different.
I was, you know, the place that we practice, we're very fortunate being able to use it.
Right.
And so I really want it to be better than the way we found it, so they don't kick us out. But you know, the day that you and I decide not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Is it going to be better?
I would hope so. I recently turned over a youth program to somebody else so I could just focus on high school. And I thought I left it in a better place than what I found it.
You did.
Just as the person before me did it and the person before them. And now I feel like it's taken a step back. And I feel like, did I really leave it in the better place? And so that's... I think when you and I decide to walk away one day from doing what we're doing, just as when I walked away from the working with the youth division, I really felt like it was in a better place. But there's still guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, should I go back and do a little bit more? And that's where you go back to sacrifice. It's like, I can't do anymore. Logistically, it just doesn't work anymore. But
And sometimes I don't know if it's a program or the people. You know, you hope if you have a good program, it affects the people.
Yeah.
Or if you affect the people, then they affect the program. And, you know, I think we could walk away. You know, we know, so in our program, there's the girls coach. He's decided to hang it up and he's retiring after this year. And he started the program 15 years ago. I can honestly say he probably is leaving it in a better place than he found it.
I would say so. As much as some people feel that he's a pain,
yeah,
he has brought a program from the very beginning to where it is now. And it's, my daughter played through the program. She really liked him as a coach. He was a great guy, always treated her with respect. And as a parent, you know, as much as I want my kids to win and to get a lot out of sports, I want them to know that they had a good time. And so I think you're right. He's going to leave it in a better place than you found it. So as a player, when we were talking about those numbers,
right?
Each one of those kids, every time those guys pick that jersey number up and they look at it and they reflect back of who wore it before them,
mm-hmm.
that means that team, the player before him, left it better than they found it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think just the way you just said that really encompasses the book that we talked about tonight. The Hard Hat by John Gordon, 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. And really, I guess, George Briarty, you know, thank you for coming into those people's lives at Cornell and giving all that you did. And he lost his life in, you know, back in 2004. But the story that the legacy he left behind, you know, really touching people, and for John Gordon to write about it, a lot of us be able to talk about it tonight, and hopefully some people get some good inspiration from that.
And go buy the book.
And go buy the book, yeah. It's The Hard Hat by John Gordon, 21 Ways to Be a Great Teammate. Real nice story to check out. Great for sports or in the workplace. And if you have any questions or comments, make sure you let us know on Instagram. We are the Coach Squad. Send us an email at wearethecoachsquad@gmail.com. So we will talk to you later. I hope everybody has a great night. Anything, Jared, before we leave?
Take the game ball.
Take the, 7.2. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Have a great night. We are the Coach Squad, signing out.